Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Another hour to go here on this Wednesday morning. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Make sure you're following us on X. We keep you updated on everything that's happening with the show, outside the show. Sam at SB Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski at SB Shoot. At Joe Ostrowski. We're 2 hours deep here, Sam. And by the way, Will Brinson will be joining us in 20 minutes, just getting off a flight, so he's going to join us from the phone in about 20. We appreciate his flexibility, still willing to come on the show every week here. That's when we'll check in with Will. Then we've got lightning bets, of course. College football playoff, we got another quick reveal. I know we kind of laugh at it, how it means nothing, but I do think it's an interesting conversation and puts you in the mindset of what is going to happen. And every week, once we get a number of results, okay, this means this and this means that. And then sometimes it also doesn't mean that, because like Utah can go and take care of business, and then it feels like, oh, wait, they didn't move up at all. But some schools that have easy games, they end up moving up. No one's surprised. You get the top Big Ten teams, top SEC teams. They would get your bye right now. Ohio State 1. They decide to keep Indiana 2, even though, Sam, you brought up the idea of Texas A&M being 2. And the committee says that they talked about that a whole lot. But in the end, they decide Indiana gets the win on the road at Penn State, which you could argue whether or not that's even an impressive win anymore, at least this season. But in the end, they keep them 2, Texas A&M 3, Alabama 4. And then we get to the matchups. And I know you reached out to some people in Vegas, hypothetical matchups, not a neutral field, keep in mind, in the opening round with 5, 12, 8, 9, 6, 11, and 7, 10. What were you told about these matchups, Sam?
So I got these numbers from Matt Metcalf, who used to direct the book at Circa. Very, very sharp cat. Now he's on the other side. He's betting more than he's booking, obviously, because he's not booking anymore. But he ran one of the largest shops in the world, and he's very good at college. He was their go-to college guy. So I sent him a text yesterday and said, hey, can you hook me up with your numbers? Because I have my numbers, but his numbers are better because I have true numbers. He has the shaded numbers because he used to book big bets. So he knows how people bet. He knows patterns and styles. How big do you think the number is, Georgia, South Florida? This is one man's opinion, of course, but I respect it a ton. Go ahead. What do you think? Georgia, USF.
What a monster number this has got to be. The committee did put USF in the top 25. Barely. I think they're 24 overall. Are we at 20?
19 and a half is what Metcalf said.
Whew. Damn.
Yeah. There you go.
17's getting
Joe
back.
Joe O, booking bets, baby. Joe O, the bookie. I honestly think that would get bet out to 20, 20 and a half, and then you'd see an appetite finally at 21. That's kind of how I would envision it. But I mean, you could make it 17. You're just going to write Georgia money, and I don't know, because like Matt always says, I could make it wherever I want, but there's a difference between making a number and opening a number. He says, if I open 17, I'm flying. I'm flying out to 19, 19 and a half anyway. So might as well just open there. So you're around 19, 20, give or take, on Georgia, USF. And honestly, USF would get blown out, just blown out in that game.
All right, moving down the bracket. Then you get to the heavyweights. Notre Dame at Oregon.
So I guessed a little bit higher. I guessed 4, Oregon minus 4.
Oh, really?
I respect Oregon, and I give Eugene a pretty big home field. Okay. Matt said Oregon 2.5.
Okay. Now, you talk to Matt on a regular basis. He really likes Notre Dame, right?
He's on the higher end with them.
He's higher than I am, and I'm pretty high on Notre Dame.
Yeah. I think all of us are. That's interesting. Oh, Notre Dame as a dog would get a lot of love. Woo-hoo!
Well, that so here's this. I mean, look, that's just one man's opinion. So I saw Brad Powers put Oregon minus -3. That's his projected spread. And then Josh Pate, who does a really good college football show, he got hypothetical lines from FanDuel, and they said Notre Dame minus -1.5. So 1.5, 2.5, 3. We're all around a field goal. I think the 1.5 is insanely low on Oregon. That seems a little low, but
oh, I thought you said Notre Dame's right favorite.
No. They all have Oregon favored. They all have Oregon favored because Oregon's at home. So it's hard to make Notre Dame a favorite. Yeah, he's got Oregon minus -1.5 per FanDuel. And then Brad Powers, who makes his own number, says Oregon minus -3. But we're in that 2.5, 3 range on the Ducks and the Irish.
Okay. Miami, Texas Tech is not going to happen. Let's just put that out there. Maybe I'm the idiot, but look, Miami's not going to be in the ACC championship, so this is kind of dumb, but what's the Texas Tech number? How many are they favored by?
So his number was Texas Tech 4.5.
Okay. Do you agree with me that Miami is just not going?
I just think they're going to lose again at some point. Yeah. That's all.
And they're 15 in the rankings right now. They're the highest rated, according to the College Football Playoff Committee, they're the highest rated ACC team. So they decided to slide them in there. But once we have the championship game, that's going to change things. Okay, and then we've got Texas at Ole Miss.
Equal on a neutral. So Ole Miss minus -3.
Okay. Man. Notre Dame and Texas as a dog in those games. Would love to bet both of those.
Yeah.
But I'm sure
the other numbers
were
higher too. So Pate put out Ole Miss minus -4 and Powers put out Ole Miss minus -4.5. But I think when you see a bookmaker tell you 3, he knows that 4.5 and 4 are going to get gobbled up. Guys are going to bet Texas because Ole Miss doesn't play to a high power rating. They just don't.
Nope.
So I think what you would see is you would see support for the dog at 4.5 and 4. So that's why I got the text Ole Miss minus -3.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I thought it was interesting that with the committee, their top 12, not the bracket, just their top 12, half of it is SEC. 6 SEC, 3 Big Ten teams. And then on the outside looking in right now, the first team is Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Remember BYU was 7 last week? Now they're on the outside of the playoff. Because we were talking about the BYU-Notre Dame possibility. So Notre Dame slides up from 10 to 9. They're going to want to get out of that game. So they're not dealing with the 8. They're not dealing with Ohio State. We think Ohio State in the second round. As we see these rankings every week, these hypothetical brackets, that's what they are. I just keep going back to what's going to happen in those championship games and how much are they going to hurt teams? How much is it going to hurt teams? So Iowa, they only fell one spot. They lose at home to Oregon and they only lose one spot. So I can't help but wonder, the loser of the Big Ten title game, the loser of the SEC title game, how many spots are they going to slide?
What do you think, 2, 3?
You should be rewarded for getting to that point. If it's a competitive game, I don't know that they do. Maybe they just do like a Iowa thing and they just slide them one spot. But yeah, 2 or 3 feels like a lot. If you accomplish all that, that's part of your resume getting to that point. And then to really hurt them, to slide them back 2, 3 slots, that feels like that's bringing a heavy hand.
Yeah. But again, none of this stuff matters, right? Like none of these rankings matter. I think it gets a lot more calculated once we get closer to the real thing. Because I think you brought this up earlier. Does the committee really want one survivor of the Oregon, Notre Dame, Ohio State pod? I don't think so. But when you're throwing these rankings out right now, it doesn't – it's not real. It's fugazi. Yeah. So when we actually get closer and we have more answers, like, we're going to know for sure what's up with Miami. Like, people want to get upset about Miami, they're probably not going to make it. People want to get upset about South Florida, they might not make it. Ole Miss might not make it. So, and then you got to think about this. If Ohio State and Indiana meet in the Big Ten championship, you can't have them both 1-2. So we're going to get so many answers down the road that I feel like once we get to the point where, oh, we have the bracket for real, there will be a lot more measuredness in terms of who's playing where and then what are the second round matchups.
They do have Texas in. That's a bet you made last week. Texas to make the playoff. So that's interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff. I like that we have an idea of what exactly they're thinking. Oklahoma, Alabama. What if you get a shocking result in that game? Changes everything. Changes everything. Now Oklahoma's in the playoff. Then Alabama doesn't have a bye anymore. How far do you end up sliding them? Like, yeah, there are so many things that are really interesting about this. But the top 10 are in as ranked as of right now. Major League Baseball. We talked so much all summer about a lot of these awards and how the movement is happening. That, you know, is they're handing out these awards. Finally, Cy Young tonight, MVP tomorrow. But it was nice to get some messages from some of our listeners. I got a couple of DMs because I talked about Nick Kurtz before the season started getting the Rookie of the Year. He did the other day on Monday for the AL. And then we talked a lot about in the NL because we didn't know what the hell was going to happen. It ends up going to Drake Baldwin from Atlanta with a 3-1 F-war. He gets your NL Rookie of the Year. So Horton does not get it due to the injury with the Cubs. It goes to Drake Baldwin. And then Kurtz was a unanimous selection for the Athletics.
How's Jack Kags? How's he doing?
Yeah.
R.I.P., man. Kurtz was a great call, though. And he started to get hot middle
then it was over.
End of summer.
Yep.
Man, he just started hitting home runs like every day.
You were right about Jacob Wilson, though. You're like, get out of here with your singles. I don't want to hear it. You suck. Just pick the wrong guy.
Well, we had the right idea, the right approach. Yeah. I just picked the wrong guy on Kags. But we also had Kags at like 70-1. Remember before he made his debut, he was like 5-1. And we were celebrating. We were doing Kags watch. And then he just struck out every at bat.
Yes.
At one point, Jacob Wilson was minus 1,100 in the season to win the Rookie of the Year. And I remember looking at that number and thinking, no chance. No chance.
Mm-hmm. I know. Jake, what did you think about the selection of Drake Baldwin? You have taken your stance for years on this show. Not pitchers. It wasn't a pitcher because of the Horton injury, but did you have any Baldwin?
I had no Baldwin. Everybody in the National League race stunk this year. Like, it could have been anybody. Like, I had some Augustin Ramirez from before the season. That was about it. And honestly, I think Cade Horton would have won if he had just finished the season healthy. Once he missed his last two starts, and I know that doesn't seem like a lot, it was kind of curtains. And it's just, there wasn't really a compelling candidate. There wasn't a Kurtz. There wasn't even a Wilson in the National League. So just kind of was throwing darts. People were saying, but like, and Baldwin's price fluctuated a lot because he was splitting time with Sean Murphy. He wasn't playing every day. It was just very weird in the National League. So I had some Augustin Ramirez. I had a little bit of Matt Shaw from when he got called back up after he'd been demoted. Otherwise, I didn't mess around with National League that much. So I was kind of okay with it. It was very stupid this year.
Who gave Colson Montgomery a second-place vote is what I want to know. Did the 108 guys get a vote this year?
Scott Merkin.
Merk, I bet you was Merk. I'm going to have to take a look. I saw you got a second-place vote. No third-place votes, but a second-place vote. I thought that was pretty funny. I never bet manager of the year, and I'm glad I don't, because I would have never said a manager's going to go back-to-back. But that's what we got in both leagues here with Vogt and Murphy. They both went back-to-back. I'm glad I don't bet that award. That's stupid.
Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah.
And no playoff.
Blue Jays fans very mad online.
Who was?
Oh, yeah? What are they saying?
All the Blue Jays fans were very mad online last night that Schneider didn't win the award.
Seriously? Imagine caring if your manager gets the award.
It was
what did
very
Ian McMillan
funny.
Say?
They're not worried about what happened in Game 7. They're worried about the manager. Manager of the year.
Ian McMillan was busy crashing out that people are calling him 50. So that was his.
Oh, was he?
Oh yeah.
Who called him 50? Oh, that's good stuff.
He got like two replies yesterday of people calling him 50 years old. He did not take it well.
He freaked out. Cy Young tonight, MVP tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be very, very exciting when MLB makes those announcements. All right, Will Brinson joins us next. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic will be checking Will Brinson coming up in a few moments from CBS Sports. Man, he's got to be excited about these games. I certainly am, but him in particular, because we got the Rams and the Seahawks that'll be facing off on Sunday. Like, I power rated them, my top two teams, my power rank them, I should say, as my top two teams in the NFL, not just the NFC, but the NFL. We've got Lions-Eagles. That's on Sunday night. That's going to be a fun one. I feel like we're still trying to figure out what those two teams are. And if it's week 11 and you're trying to figure out what they are, maybe they're not that great with the Lions and the Eagles. And then, you know, Chiefs-Broncos, that AFC West matchup is going to be a lot of fun. But Sam, if you were to pick out one, you can watch one game in full. What's your favorite matchup? Seahawks, Rams, Lions, Eagles, or Chiefs, Broncos? Because I'm also fascinated in Chiefs, Broncos.
I'll watch Chiefs, Broncos, but yeah, the game I'm most excited for is the Bet Sweats Bowl, for sure. Rams and Seahawks. Because yep. I think, if I can admit for a second, I think I'm so jaded by not betting Seattle that now I'm like, oh, the Rams are better. Like, if that makes any sense, right?
No, it makes sense.
If we didn't do Seattle,
yeah,
you gotta kind of detach yourself from the situation.
No, I totally get it. Let's bring in our buddy Will Brinson at Will Brinson over on X CBS Sports. Will, I know top of mind for you this week, Seahawks and the Rams. We're certainly there. See, we're looking at it from the perspective of we're mad at the Seahawks because not of anything they did, because we're idiots, because we talked about them at 30-1 to win the conference and we never made the bet. So now we might be on board with you with the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, the Seahawks are tough, man, because I don't know if they've been like a public darling, but they've been like one of the top, they're almost like a consensus team in the Circa Millions every single week. And it's just, it's like you think that maybe they're going to sort of, like, you know, take a small step back. You know, we've seen Sam Darnold at time, like last year with Minnesota, he would have those moments where it wouldn't be perfect. And the defense is just a truck and they're really well coached. I think Mike McDonald, one of the best coaching hires in recent years. And, you know, he's replicating that defense in Seattle. And yeah, like I wish I'd hopped on Seahawks futures as well. Having said all that, give me the Rams this week. I mean, you got the better quarterback. I put in my column yesterday, but, you know, bet it now when it was sitting at 2.5 because it was going to get to 3. You know, I think there will be a lot of love for Seattle at 3. I think this will be one where it's pretty split. But I do think, you know, we talk about the great play of Sam Darnold. We talk about the run games. you know, I mean, go across the board. Maybe the defense as a whole is better for Seattle. I'm fine with saying that. But, you know, Matthew Stafford is playing quarterback at as good a level as anybody in the NFL this year. I get the Drake May love for MVP. I think Sam Darnold should be in the discussion. But, I mean, to me, Matthew Stafford is the MVP so far through the year. And so, like, I'll take the better quarterback and, you know, better receiving weapons, although JSN has been the best receiver in football this season. It should be an awesome game. I mean, it's pretty incredible to have, and I'm probably like, you know, I'm not sure Denver KC is on Fox or CBS, but I may be doing my company a disservice here. But pretty incredible that, like, Broncos Chiefs in this late in the season with this much on the line is kind of like the second screen option, because Seahawks and Rams are such a good game.
So we did our power rankings, Will, and I feel good about mine. I went 3-2-1 Lions, Chiefs, Rams. It felt kind of weird to have the Rams on line one, but then I thought, who's better in all facets than them right now?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you toss in the Seahawks, I guess the Bills, and I'm probably missing one more team. That's probably the top five, right? Unless I'm missing somebody else. I mean, they're all pretty bunched up there. You know,
Would you put Detroit or Philly in there? Those are the other two.
Yeah. Well, no, Detroit's definitely in there for me, for sure. Like, with Detroit's rolling, they can roll on anybody. I think, you know, that the Philly Monday night performance, like, you want to see them back up what they showed us before the bye. I think that's kind of the issue. And then obviously, like, if Baltimore gets going and that defense continues to limit teams the way it has over the past, like, close to a month, I mean, you know, you kind of have to start putting the Ravens back up there, even with the record. But yeah, I think the Rams at one is perfectly reasonable. I mean, they had the fluke statistical loss in, like, Mac Jones morphing into Tom Brady, you know, 2007 Tom Brady. And then they had the insane loss to the Eagles. You know, who's, like, we're talking about, like, a top 5, 6, 7, 8 team, right? So, you know, the Rams, I mean, you know, I think people quickly forget that when the Rams won the Super Bowl, they were playing as one of the best teams the entire season. And, yeah, they had Cooper Kupp, but now they had Davante Adams, who's playing really great football. They had Aaron Donald. They don't have him now. He's, you know, you can't recreate him. But their defense is excellent, and they continue to be excellent year after year despite, you know, swapping coordinators. And then, of course, you know, you have the consistency that is Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. So, Puka Nacua. So, like, I think treating the Rams as a surprise is sort of ignoring everything that Sean McVay has done in Los Angeles.
All right, so Seahawks-Rams, that's obviously the game of the week. And the AFC side, you mentioned Chiefs-Broncos. We do get Lions-Eagles, two teams that had higher expectations than what they've played to, but they're still very much in the mix. Almost the exact same line as Seahawks-Rams. It's Eagles as the home favorite minus 2.5. How do you view this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Philly is still an enigma because of the, you know, like, you have the you have this like situation, like, are they going to throw the ball around and be, you know, an explosive passing team, or are they going to try and just be this power offense that we've, you know, seen at, you know, what are they offensively? And that's sort of the question. I think Detroit, Dan Campbell takes back play calling. Now he does it against Washington, which is a little bit easier than doing it against Philly's defense. And, like, you know, Philly's found ways to win, which is always impressive. Like, you can never discount that. But I do think that, you know, when I look at these two teams, I like Detroit a little bit more just because when they get healthy, you know, when they're completely healthy, I think they have sort of more, not more variance in the right word, but, like, more upside offensively. You sort of trust the play calling, you trust the weapons they have, and Philly's loaded. I mean, like, you know, operating to max potential, they are a very dangerous offense. But I'll take the Lions in this one. I think, you know, you hope it, if you want to back the Lions, obviously you hope it gets out to 3 and you can take them in a really close game.
Joe and I love these home dogs, especially when we know that most people are going to be on the road favorite, and that's what we have in Kansas City and Denver. I'm mortified about betting plus four and the Chiefs winning by 10. I know it's going to lose, but I still think I'm going to bet the dog.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a game where, like, I mean, you know, Sean, I mean, it's not like we're talking about some upstart, you know, rando coach coming in here and having to square off against Andy Reid. I mean, Sean Payton has plenty of experience doing that. I think the bigger concern for the Broncos is that they just managed to start slow a lot. And I don't know that Kansas City is the sort of defense where you want to be forced to try and – like, I just don't think you're going to rally against them in the fourth quarter and magically come away with a victory against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, because, you know, Broncos without Patrick Surtain, they can, you know, they can still slow down the run. But the Chiefs are so good at, you know, in the second half with the lead, converting those third downs. Mahomes uses his legs. You know, you got Rashee Rice and Kelsey on the short stuff. It's like you're, if you don't come out and play your best football early, you're going to be a hole immediately because, you know, it's like, and it's a hole I don't think you can get out of. So, like, that's my biggest concern back in Denver. But if you're giving me more than a touchdown, I'm probably taking the Broncos. This does feel like a game where, you know, it's Denver's Super Bowl. Like, they can really make a statement about the division by winning this game. They can set themselves up to win the division and, you know, chase the one seed, which, you know, they've had to do it through smoke and mirrors and fourth quarter comebacks. But, like, go win this game. And, I mean, it's all there on the table. And so I think they get the best out of Bo Nix. I think Sean Payton calls a great game. I think they'll keep it close enough. But, yeah, like, if you told me Kansas City was up 10 heading to halftime, I would want out of that bet as fast as possible.
With Will Brinson, CBS Sports. All right, well, the Ravens are now heavy favorites to win the division, minus 275 with how they're looking. Steelers don't look good. But I go to Cincinnati. What is going on with Joe Burrow? Like, now there's that 21-day window that's open. They have not played the Ravens yet. They are one back in the loss column to the Ravens. They're supposed to play Thanksgiving night. Maybe Burrow's healthy there. I don't know. Do you think we're going to see Joe Burrow again this year?
It sounds like yes, which I think is kind of crazy. I know that, you know, if this division had played out differently and Baltimore won the early games that they probably should have won, or Lamar doesn't get hurt, then maybe they just say, you know, bleep it and shut Burrow down. But, you know, I mean, the question might be, who's making this decision? And is there anyone in the organization that can tell Joe Burrow no if he wants to play and he's back? I think the smart move would be to pack it in and call the dogs. But, you know, I mean, on the other hand, maybe Burrow comes back and you look at it two ways. One, it's like, is Joe Burrow going to score more points than Joe Flacco has over the last few weeks? I mean, like, Flacco put up like 38 and he lost to the Jets. I mean, is Joe Burrow scoring? I mean, I guess he scores 45. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those where, like, you can see that side. You can also see, all right, you know, get Burrow back, sneak into the playoffs as a 7 seed, and you were the 7 seed that nobody wants to play if you manage to pull that off. And plus, I think Burrow is probably, you know, still, you know, I mean, he's probably sick and tired of being told that he gets hurt all the time. Now, having said that, you come back off this injury, maybe you rush back and you're like, you know, you're overcompensating in a certain area and you get hurt like some other way. That's the thing I'd be really worried about, is, you know, you overcompensate and then you, like, you know, you tear an ACL or something like that. And he's done that before. And if you do that, it all of a sudden throws your 2026 for an entire loop. But because that division is just, you know, like, still up for grabs, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he plays. It sounds like Thanksgiving maybe the target line.
Yeah, that's what Joe was saying. They just did the 21-day thing last week, so it could be right around Thanksgiving. Joe was trying to sell me on Bengals to make the playoffs 14-1, and I'm like, ugh, damn it.
But they have to probably win. I mean, they definitely have to win at least one of the next two and maybe win their next two games. Just find a way to win those two games, and then you can talk me into it. It's almost a shame that they, you know, they lost the, you know, they had the two losses that they probably shouldn't have, because if they win those games, I mean, they're probably like 3-1 to make the playoffs at worst.
Yeah. Now that Daboll's out of the mix, now it looks like Russ is out of the mix. Are the Giants bettable with Jameis under center
home dog, +7 against the Packers.
Yeah. It's going to go one of two ways, obviously, with Jameis. It's either Jolo Jameis throwing all over the Packers secondary, and, you know, the Giants, like, you get the dead cat bounce bump, right, where you get a coach that's fired and suddenly the team, everybody's like, oh, everyone's job is on the line. And, you know, Mike Kafka, I mean, this is a guy who's coaching. This is a straight up audition for Mike Kafka. I mean, because he's been a finalist for coaching jobs in recent years. And I think the Giants probably saw this as, okay, Dable hadn't, you know, 2-8 for the third straight year. Dable's, you know, Jack Starr's been evaluated for 4 different concussions. Dable's, you know, trying to save his job by running darts like all the time. You know, if Brian Dable wins some games down the stretch and we keep him, we may lose Mike Kafka anyway. Why not roll Kafka out there for the rest of the season, see what he can do? And so I think you get, I mean, kitchen sink stuff from Kafka, you know, with Jameis here, letting him cut it loose. And we've seen Jameis put up some big numbers in like short release stints before. Now, against a defense like the Packers, if the Packers play their A game, and the Packers are prone to play down to opponents, so who knows what we're getting. If the Packers play their A game, then, you know, Jameis could throw 3 pick sixes, and, you know, this game is over by halftime. But I would rather back the home dog, you know, coming off a coach firing, throwing Jameis in the mix, who just adds a little more variance to that, where you know he can storm through the back door if it's close, and you know that he could just come out and just be nuclear hot to start the game, and if they get a lead, you feel really good about that 7.
Will, thanks for squeezing us in around your travels. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, all anytime, boys. Talk to you next week.
Will Brinson, thank you so much. Will Brinson at Will Brinson on X. Make sure you follow him there. Check out his work, CBS Sports. Yeah, Sam, with Jameis in, it's like, no, the Packers not considering in Survivor. Packers in a teaser, probably not. Like, anything can happen in that game, so... That's now interesting to watch. Lightning bets will be interesting. We've got a media brawl busting out. We'll talk about it next on Bet Sweats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lovely time of the year. Lovely. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Sam, do we want to wait on the dating tip or get to what was on our mind from before?
The dating tip is simple. I mean, in my 20s, one of the easiest things to do is when
for
you
Jake.
Meet a
Jake,
girl
why
at a bar.
Don't you pop on? Jake, pop on here for a second.
Maybe Jake already does this. Maybe Jake is a smooth criminal too. You meet a girl at a bar, right? Jake, you're single. She's obviously single because she's with all her friends. You're at a bar, and you go up and you introduce yourself, and she says, "I'm Megan," and your response right away is, H or no H? And she goes, ew, H? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I think. And then that's an instant, like asking them how they spell their names is such an easy in to the next conversation. Like if it's, say it's Kate, C or K? C, nobody ever asked me that. Would you like a drink, Kate, with a K? Whatever, like, oh, Stuart, it's like fish in a barrel. Come on. Like, ask if it's a name that could be spelled a different way. Just ask how they spell it. And then be ready for the quick retort. No H? Yeah, only crazy girls spell it with an H. I know! You know, it's oh, man. It's so easy. Next time you meet a girl with a name that could be spelled multiple ways, just ask how they spell it.
How many names can't be now? Right? Like, once we got Jordan... Now it's every name, pretty much.
I know.
My wife knows.
Well, yeah, so you bring up Jordan, right? Jordan, A or an I? Mm-hmm. And then whatever she says, you just roll
or
with it.
Or
a
Y.
And she'll go, what if she says, yeah, actually, it's a Y. I love it when it's spelled with a Y. Bang, done. Jake, use this. Add it to the arsenal.
Your name's Hannah? Is there an H or no H at the end?
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
Exactly. Sarah?
Yes.
Sarah, yes. H? Sarah, H or no H? An H. Oh, all the cool Sarahs spell it with an H. You're just ready no matter what. And then if it's no H, yeah, I hate Sarahs with an H. Me too. Like, it doesn't matter. You just pivot.
Dude, where were you 15 years ago?
Oh.
I needed this information.
The stories I could tell.
I don't know how you spell Michelle or how she spells Michelle, but let's get to that. There is media spat going down. Did you catch what Michelle Beadle, and I'll play for the audience because I know not everybody saw this, or nor do they care. Did you see what Michelle Beadle said about a week ago on her brand new show with Cody Decker about Stephen A. Smith?
I did not.
Okay. So let's get everybody up to speed. This is up to late last week. This is what Michelle Beadle had to say about one Stephen A. Smith.
He made you look like fools for handing him a blank check in the first place, mm-hmm. because he doesn't even give a shit about the stuff that he's paid a gazillion dollars to talk about. And now he's turning around and turning that into a money-making opportunity. Yeah. And the money-making opportunity turns out it looks like it's a fraudulent crap business to begin with. Honestly, I'm not a religious person, but I pray for the downfall. I really
it's
do.
It's going to be amazing.
I just...
It's going to be amazing.
So that's a short clip.
To the guy that was sitting next to her. I don't know you from a can of paint. I think his name is Cody Decker. I heard you used to play in minor leagues like 8 years and tried it at baseball, whatever. No shade on you, bro. I don't know you. And I want you to know that anything that I say about your show with her in a second has absolutely nothing to do with you. I know you got to sit next to her and come across as rah-rah and all of that, bro. This has nothing to do with you. I wish you nothing but the best. I hope your success continues to grow and you make the most of the career that you're trying to have. I know you did short films, but do short films. Man, all the best to you, bro. I don't know you. Don't know you. My comments are strictly directed at this woman, who I will remind y'all I have not said a word about in over 11 years. I've never spoken about her. Do y'all know why? I don't know her. You would think there's some beef that's been going on and has been pervasive throughout the industry for years. It's all because of her. I have never said more than hello or goodbye to her in the initial stages. And we was at one event for ESPN in 2013 or wherever it was, where we might have spoken for a minute or two. I don't know this woman at all. So when you hear her talking about me, please understand, I don't know her. I have no relationship with her. She says, I don't like her. How would you know? It has to be because of how you're acting, Michelle Beadle. It can't be because of me. Because I don't talk to you. I don't know you. I don't talk to you. I've never been around you. We've never had a conversation. We've never hung out with one another. Nothing. We have no relationship. I can sit up here right now, walk outside to the bathroom, pass somebody in a hallway, talk to them for 2 minutes, and that would be more extensive than any communication I have had with Michelle Beadle in all these years.
He went off. That wasn't even the worst part. I saw the link for his YouTube and I clicked on it and then I couldn't look away. He went off on Beadle for like a half hour. He called her trifling. And then it goes right into him tearing into Carrie Champion because of a post that she made on social media. And she referenced Ray Rice. And if you want to look up that history, you can look up that. That's where this beef apparently started. His comments on domestic violence. And, oh, man, it was a thing, dude. He, like, let it all out. I think he's above it, or he should be maybe above it, but he was sick of hearing people talk trash, and he went off on her, and he called out how the show Beadle and Decker has only 2,500 Instagram followers. Like, he was just going in.
I don't know you from a paint can.
Can of paint. Yeah.
Can of paint. Can of paint.
It was hilarious. It was
crazy.
Yeah. It was hilarious. So if you want to check that out, I don't know, if you want to laugh, not take things too seriously, go ahead. Check it out. Some things I agree with, some things I disagree with. But, I mean, taking shots at a show that just launched about the number of followers, I'm like, come on, dude. That show just started a week ago.
That is the best thing to happen to that show. It's the best thing to happen to that show. Hey, go look at this show on his platform.
Yes. I know. And when I watched his video yesterday, it already had 100,000 views and it wasn't even 24 hours old. And then you know what I did? I went looking on their YouTube to see if they responded. And then the only video was Nico Harrison fired. Who cares? Then the general manager of the Mavericks was fired. Like, I know everybody was talking about it yesterday. Nobody gives a damn. I don't care. Talk about this. You better respond to this today when you go that hard. And Cody Decker was going hard too, even though he doesn't know him from a can of paint.
So they should have been live.
They better respond.
They should have been live responding. They should have been live responding. 100%. To it. You got to capitalize on that.
It was out for 24 hours and there's still nothing on it.
Would you say that's bad producing?
I knew you were going to say that.
I would have done things differently.
Well,
guess what else,
Jake, what do you think? Is it bad producing?
I mean, I guess I'm not really in a position to say what is good or bad producing, though.
I also I got two emails from Vanguard yesterday. Would you like to read the subjects? Would you like me to read the subjects?
Oh no! What?
Are you ready for retirement? Question mark. No.
Actually.
And then yes. The second email that came hours later, Samuel, comma, want less stress over money this holiday season? Question mark. Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. I got a piece of mail the other day from Vanguard too. It's like the first time I've opened a piece of mail like immediately. And it was just a nothing update. I'm like, maybe they have information because I'm looking for information. There's no information there. Vanguard does not know yet.
No, definitely not. Vanguard's
not aware.
They
have no idea. No idea what the hell is going on. All right, Sam. It's Wednesday. Do you have any bets? What are your top three bets? What are your top three bets? 3-1. Go.
I hit all three last night, believe it or not.
Did you?
All three of them. Yeah. I was going to make a post with a bunch of check marks, and then I decided, nah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Act like you've been there. Let's go Marquette, -20.5. They are playing Little Rock tonight. I imagine that game's going to get ugly. I think Marquette might be up 20 at halftime, because remember the last time we saw Marquette, they were getting throttled by the Fighting Gurches of Indiana. Now they play Little Rock in Milwaukee, and they are going to blow them off the court. I'm laying 20.5 right now. I expect this to close higher.
Mm. You love Toledo. What do you think happens with them tonight in the football side? They're laying 4.5 on the road at Miami of Ohio.
I no You're not longer betting care it. About Toledo. Nope, okay. Not betting it because I can't watch it. Can't watch it in the hotel room. Actually, I might be able to tonight. We'll see.
You might be able to. I don't know if they probably don't have YouTube TV is my guess. Did you bet them for the conference, though?
I did. No? 2-1.
Yeah.
Don't think it's going to hit.
Yeah. It's not. All right. UMass. NIU favored by 11.5 at UMass tonight. God.
UMass stinks. Stinks.
They're still the worst. It's been a number of years now. Still the worst. So that one's on ESPNU. Three matching games going down tonight. All right. Number of plays in the NFL. Like, let me give out Henderson at 50-1. This thing is still wide open for offensive rookie. Now you have the dart injury. Abuka's the favorite again. So I think Henderson at 50-1 is a number worth grabbing. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. So Thursday show, then the Friday show. So a lot planned. We're going to dive into this NFL card, college football as well. For Sam, I'm Joe. This has been Bet Sweats. Talk tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here in the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.